You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, here with the 315th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to title this episode a Falcons Free Agency Primer. We have a special guest today, AJC columnist Michael Cunningham, and we're going to break down the free agency situation for the Atlanta Falcons as they head into this very important offseason. So, Michael, what are some of your thoughts here on the free agency group of the Atlanta Falcons?
First of all, this is my Bowtie Chronicles debut, so I'm very excited.
Yes.
Yeah, this is great. Obviously, Arthur seems to think that because they were good in close games, that maybe they were, you know, a good team. I disagree. The close games tend to be random over time. Just a lot of luck involved, and we saw that with some of the couple of games the Falcons lost. So to me, they need a big talent upgrade, obviously, a big depth upgrade. They'll have a little bit more flexibility to do it, but you got to sign the right players, which, you know, the Falcons have a history lately. Previous regime, the new regime did a little bit better, I think, but they have a recent history of not doing so great with the free agents, so they really need to hit on some guys this year.
Yeah, no question about it. We've seen them miss on the offensive line with Jamin Brown and James Carpenter there. It's been real tough trying to rebuild the line. Seen a miss on Fowler and going back a few years, Ray Edwards in the pass rush game. So nobody's putting pass rushers out on the street.
Right.
Nobody's putting a good lineman out on the street. So, you know, your safest thing and the best bet is to develop your own. You know, there have been different approaches. A lot of the Packers, they developed their linemen. A lot of teams, the Eagles used to go out and get theirs in free agency. So it's a couple different ways to do it, and they just haven't been able to figure it out here on what's the best way to do that. So we have a clip here from Coach Smith. We want to hear from Coach here on their second offseason together, Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot. And here's what Coach Smith says. They have a pretty good process now.
Well, I think everybody's more familiar with each other. Certainly the second time around, if you've done your due diligence and your process is good, it should go smoother. It's just because there's just so many things to do here. One, as you're getting, you start and hit the ground running, it should be a lot easier this time because you kind of understand how everybody operates, and there's some things we want to do better than what we did last time. And it just, you're just more familiar. It's like any relationship. You feel like you know everybody better.
Yeah, and they do. They have a group that came in from a lot of different franchises. The Redskins, Washington Football Team, the Ravens. Arthur Smith came from the Titans. Terry Fontenot came from New Orleans. They had to blend everything together, step on some toes, change some processes. And this year, they're thinking, hey, it's going to be a little bit smoother than the original transition year. So what we're going to do here with the free agents, it's 27. They had 28. But they signed Dorian Etheridge to a reserve futures contract, inside linebacker from Louisville. Or did I say that right? Is it Louisville?
Louisville.
Okay, Louisville. There we go. So he was re-signed to a futures deal. So you have 27 free agents, and we got them in the groups here. We got them in the top group, the top tier, a middle tier, and then a low tier. And the top group, we're calling them the keepers. And the middle group, we're calling them the right price guys. You know, you want them back, but, you know, you don't want to pay too much. And then we got some guys we're just going to say goodbye to. in the free agency group here. Now, the keeper group, Mike, Cordarrelle Patterson's priority number one, kicker Youngway Koo, and Foyer Ulukon, who led the league in tackles. It's kind of a dubious stat. You don't really want to lead the league in tackles. It means you're playing a lot of defense. Russell Gage, Josh Harris, and punter Thomas Morstad. That's the group that you want to keep. You got to figure out how to make the money work. Patterson had a $3 million one-year contract, so he's looking to get paid. His best contract over his career was a two-year $10 million deal with the Bears. So the former first-round pick has never really had a big payday, so this might be his chance here. He turns 31 on March the 17th. You know, you're not talking about a five-year contract here. You're talking about a two- or three-year contract. Mike, any thoughts on the group here and how you would try to proceed with re-signing them?
Yeah, Patterson's an interesting case because, you know, he's a running back. And, you know, the trend in the league now is you don't pay running backs, especially when you're using the system the Falcons run, this wide zone scheme. It's kind of assumed that you can kind of plug in any guy who's just, you know, a good cutback runner and you can work on this scheme. But we saw that the way Arthur Smith used Patterson this year, he was a weapon. You got to give Arthur Smith credit for that. He figured out a way to use Patterson that nobody really has. So maybe he has a bigger value to the Falcons than he does on the market. I think you mentioned that Patterson's biggest contract was, 2 years, $10 million? Something like that would be okay. You worry a little bit about the age at 31, but he doesn't have a lot of tread on the tires because he's never really been a main guy as a running back. And so I think maybe you have a little bit more value to the Falcons just because Arthur Smith's found ways to use him that nobody has. He also kind of was the guy who gave them the attitude. He was a physical runner that helped a lot. I mean, he'd hit in the backfield. He could still give you some positive yardage. He showed some explosive play capability that nobody really knew he had from scrimmage, which kind of makes sense because he'd been a good kick returner, you know, a good open field guy. And like I said, Arthur Smith figured out a way to use him. So I think I agree with you that he's kind of the priority. Maybe you overpay a little bit for him, quote unquote, overpay for him a little bit just because he has more value to you. Koo, obviously, good kicker. When you have a good kicker, you don't let him go. They did before. They brought him back. So, and they figured out that he can kick. You got to give him credit too, right? I mean, it's hard as a kicker. Once you fall out of favor, it's hard to get back in and get your foot back in and get people to trust you. You know, you got to be able to trust your kicker. You don't want to be thinking about, do I even want to send this guy out? Crucial situations. Ulukun, he's, you know, as you said, tackles can be a dubious statistic. For my eye, you know, he's a solid linebacker. And I think that's not the most important position, but, you know, it is important to have a guy who can, you know, go sideline to sideline. And, you know, he was, okay as a blitzer. Gage, if he's your number three, I love him. If he's your number two, not so much. He's your number one, not at all. But he did make some plays. He made some explosive plays this year. The consistency probably wasn't there like he'd like, but, you know, he's worth bringing back as a depth guy, as, you know, a number three tight. Josh Harris, still going. I mean, it's another position. It's like kicker. Once you get a good one, keep it. Keep them. They're relatively cheap. No problem there. Who's the other guy? Oh, Morstad, the punter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, punter is a position where you bring a guy back. If he doesn't work out, it's relatively easy to go get another guy. There are guys on the street that are pretty good. You see a bunch of college punters that don't even get signed, former pro guys on the street. So, yes, re-sign him if he's cheap. If he doesn't work out, usually, you know, you can make the contract in a way where you can cut him and it's not too much pain.
Yeah, no question about it. Koo, just a note on him. Jason Tucker's the highest paid kicker at $5 million. So I'm thinking $2 million for Koo, too, would do it, 2.5. Gage looked up his numbers. It was a four-year, $2.6 million deal. He was making average $650 for 4 years as a former six-round pick. So somebody's going to give him $2 million. He's going to double, triple his salary. just because he's, you know, been highly productive, 193 catches over 4 years, 72 last year and 66 this year when he had to play through the ankle sprain. So you're not talking major deals here, and that's a good thing because the Falcons don't have major room, so they can get some of these guys back. I think Mike can get all of this back. So that's our keeper group. You know, maybe somebody overpays Gage and he goes and makes some money somewhere, good for him. You know, Foyer. You know, linebackers are funny because they let Devondre Campbell go. Nobody paid him. He went to Arizona. They didn't pay him. And he went to Green Bay, and this year he's the all-pro middle linebacker. So, you know, Devondre's agent's going to have to do a better job of getting him some, because he's played 6 years of good football and doesn't have a contract that's market value for his play. So hopefully, you know, he'll shine in the playoffs. I don't know. He'll be a free agent. I don't know if the Falcons won't go back and get one of their old ones. But in that 3-4, Foyer and Devondre would look a lot better to me than Foyer and Deion. Deion looks a little out of place in the 3-4. He's a traditional weak side backer, but we'll see how they move forward at the linebacker spot. Let's move over to the next group. These are guys, it's a longer list. They take the right deal, keep them. Darren Bates helped you on special teams. Matt Gonneau, hopefully he's healthy. He can maybe help you on the line. Daron Harmon, he's veteran, good leadership. Key things about these old veterans, though, they got to be able to play. I don't know how well he – you want to upgrade at safety, but I wouldn't – I would try to bring him back again. Jonathan Bullard, until you get something better up front, you know, bring him back. Jaden Graham, the tight end who was out on IR. You know, you're going to have Hurst, Lee Smith, Jaden Graham. All you got on the roster now is Kyle Pitts and Parker Hesse. It doesn't cost you much. Bring him back. Isaiah Oliver is over here on this list just because he was a former second-round pick and he was a nickelback under the new regime and was doing pretty good until they sent him on that blitz and J.D. McKissick laid him out and blew his knee out. So I don't know how gunshot he's going to be coming off of the slot blitz coming forward. Josh Rosen, I'm intrigued. I had him. Y'all know I had him rated. I shouldn't keep repeating this, but I had him rated as the number one quarterback that year. So I'm partial. I want to see if he can play or not. Lee Smith, the tight end. Yeah, he's getting old, but hey, you need a blocking tight end. Shouldn't cost you much. Lamide Zaccheaus, you can get him back. But he had a chance to step up this year and it didn't really do it. And then Jason Spriggs, the swing tackle. You got to upgrade at all spots on the line. Until you do it, bring him back. And then Kobe Gassett, he started the Gossett from North Forsyth High. He started the last game at left guard for Mayfield. So these are my guys that, you know, hey, if the right price, bring them back. Any thoughts, Cunningham, on any of these people you got to have back or they really need back?
Believe it or not, I think they should. I like to bring back Oliver. I wrote him off as kind of a bust, I'll be honest. When he was playing outside, I mean, he was bad. He was supposed to be this big physical corner, and he couldn't really get his hands on anybody. Everybody was getting off the line on him. He's not very fast. He just wasn't very good on the outside. But like you said, they moved him to the nickel, and he was pretty good. I was surprised. Inside, his lack of speed isn't such a problem, and his size works out for him. You know, he's usually up against these inside receivers, you know, as D-Led likes to call them, little Smurfs. he could use his size a little bit more and not have to operate so much in space, and he was pretty good. So I think I agree on Oliver. Gonneau, with his mystery injury, if he's healthy, bring him back. They obviously need depth on the line. They need guys who can compete and guys, if you put him in there, that could do a reasonably good job. And he's one of the few candidates for that, especially on the depth of this line. I mean, he probably could have started this year. He probably would have started this year if he would have been healthy. Definitely could have helped that line in pass protection, I think. Who else did you say? Oh, Zacchaeus. Yeah, I'm kind of like you. I'm like, I guess. Maybe. Yeah,
what did you see from Harmon?
Harmon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. You're right, news. Though. They do. Yeah. They do need an upgraded safety, but to me, he looked a little old, right?
Looked a little old, yeah.
And that's another thing. They haven't really had a lot of speed in their secondary for so long. Who's even in some of the speed guys they've had? Nobody really.
Rocky, our boy Alford.
That's it, right? Like,
yeah, Rocky used to grab everybody.
He was a speed guy. Rocky should have been the Super Bowl hero, but we won't get into that.
Right. A bunch of would-be Super Bowl heroes.
Yeah, that was a glorious moment when Tom Brady fell on his face. Rosen, I know what you said, you're partial to him because you liked him. I mean, yeah, I think it's good to have a developmental guy there, kind of guy who had some talent coming out. And maybe, because, I mean, if Matt Ryan goes down, the season's over anyway, right? That's
right.
That's my thought on it, that unless you're Tampa Bay or a contender, you want to have a veteran there that you know can come in and play. But if you're just the Falcons, you're kind of a mid-tier to low-tier team, why not have a guy in there that if Matt gets hurt, you get a look at him? Who knows? Maybe he can play. Other than that, yeah, Graham, I guess. Lee Smith, like you said, they're going to need a body at tight end. Why not? Yeah, so I would agree that Oliver and Rosen would be the top guys on that list for me. The top priorities.
Well, all right. We're going to go to a cut from general manager Terry Fontenot explaining how they decide who stays and who goes.
Well, you go through that process again. It starts with meeting with the coaches and determining who you do want to proceed with, and that's the beginning of it. And then we go through the process of looking at their market value. And it does make a difference when a player is in your building. And ideally, the best form of free agency is developing and signing your own players that, because you're not guessing. We know exactly who they are in the building. And so that's important. So ideally, when it's players in your building, those are players you want to invest in. But there are a lot of variables, and you want to look at the market value and making sure you're making the right decisions. But when you can do that, when you can reward your players in your building, that's something that we want to do.
Well, all right. Yeah, so that he's kind of tipping his hat because, you know, when you sign free agents, they, you know, the other team doesn't want them, or, you know, something went bad with them, and they weren't who they were projected to be. So you're kind of getting damaged goods in that regard. So it's always best to develop your own and keep them. But, you know, sometimes, you know, the Falcons had got to the point where they couldn't keep their guys. They couldn't keep Austin Hooper. They couldn't keep Devondre Campbell. We're going to see this year if they can keep Foyer and Gage, 2 6-round picks. You know, then they found Patterson on the scrap heap, picked Kuhl up. And they had Josh Harris the whole time, and Morstead got him off of the punter scrap heap this year, and he was with Terry in New Orleans, and so I'm pretty sure there's some comfort level there. He represents himself, so that'd be an easy deal to do. Now, our last group here, we're just going to thank them for their service. We're going to start by thanking Dante Fowler. He tried hard for 2 years, couldn't help the pass rush much. So we're gonna let him go ahead and go on the market. It's, you know, a high pick, high draft pick that just never could get any consistency. He got 11 with the Rams. They didn't want to bring him back. He came here to play for Quinn. Quinn gets fired. He goes to a 3-4, which was kind of what he was playing in L.A., but he's a liability in the run game, so he has to come out some. But I don't know. He wasn't healthy last year, in 2020. But this year, just 4.5 sacks. Actually, you're sack leader. So, maybe you try to figure out a way to keep him. I don't know. But Hayden Hurst, they kind of signaled that when they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. And we just posted our wide receiver story where he discusses, you know, hey, I could only make you know, the most of the opportunities I'm given, and even kind of sensing he was gone. He only got 31 targets. Pitts had 110 of them. So, you know, and he caught 26 of his targets for 3 touchdowns. So But I'm thinking, you know, they just didn't want to pay $5.5 million for a backup tight end because that's what he is. He's been that here and he was that in Baltimore. And so the rest of them real quick, Josh Andrews, he was veteran insurance, Christian Blake, special teamers, Eric Harris, you know, he got hurt every year. He's, you know, been in the league, so he got hurt here. A.J. McCarron's on the IR, had the knee. It wasn't looking really good in the preseason when he was playing, but, you know, Granny's playing with backups. And then Tajay Sharpe didn't do anything to impress me, but they like him because he, I guess because he knew the system and so forth. So, but those are the seven that, you know, we can kind of just move on and tell them, hey, thanks for your service. What are your thoughts on Fowler, Mike, and Hayden Hurst? They lead up this group.
Yeah, I think you're right that Fowler is probably playing hurt for at least one of the years, maybe last year. We don't know. I admit that I kind of liked that deal when they did it. He showed some promise as a, you know, he was kind of one of those guys, though, who had converted a lot of his pressures into sacks, and that's kind of unsustainable over the long term. But I thought maybe he could be a pressure guy for them, and he obviously wasn't. It's 4.5 sacks, the team leader. That's not good. I mean, maybe he's available on the market cheap. You'd be tempted to bring him back as kind of a part of your pass rush group. But like you said, being such a liability in the run, he's a two-down guy, one-down guy, really. How much do you pay a guy like that, especially if he's not getting to the quarterback and the few opportunities he's going to get? So, yeah, probably move on. I would like to see them finally go pass rush in the draft. So maybe that's where you say we're not gonna spend any money on the free agents. We're going to try to do it in the draft and develop the guys we got here. Hurst, yeah, $5.5 million wouldn't have been good for him. He might get paid, you know, as a pass catch tight end type guy. But they gave up a second round pick for him?
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins.
Way to go.
Good job, TD.
Yeah, they gave away more picks. They could afford to give away picks, right? They didn't need those picks.
Nah.
Yeah, the other guys, I mean, I don't know. You said they like Sharp?
Yeah, Arthur Smith had him in Tennessee and, you know, kept him around here. I'm sure there were some probably other better wide receivers on the market.
Yeah, probably pretty much an interchangeable guy. To me, looking at it from the outside, Arthur might have a different opinion based on what he knows about what the guy does for him. But to me, he's kind of interchangeable. So, I mean, the only decisions there, I would say, are Fowler and Hurst. Like you said, they already kind of made a decision with Hurst. He sounds like he thinks he deserves more, and he'll probably get it. So, see you later. Fowler, yeah, good luck.
So, you know, the salary cap is going up from 192 to 208, I believe, are the real numbers. We'll have those for you as we move forward here in the process. But let's hear from General Manager Terry Fontenot, who expects to have a little bit more room to work with this year, but, you know, not much.
Yeah, we're in a better spot because the cap did increase this year. That was one of the big challenges last year because of the cap going down so much, and we already had challenges prior to that. But this offseason, the cap did increase, and yet there still are challenges here for the next couple of years. But again, we have to look at every contract, every player, whether they're under contract or not, and make the best decision for this team moving forward.
All right. Well, hey, Mike, just wanted to go ahead and give our listeners here on the Bowtie Chronicles a shout out and let them know what you're working on. I know Georgia Tech coach Josh Pastner is probably looking for you today.
Yeah, it was funny. He saw me. It was a Zoom call. He saw me on a Zoom call. He's like, oh, you're here to rip me because we just had a bad loss.
Like, yeah, that's how this works, coach.
I was thinking, not just one bad loss, coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was working on that. I don't know. I might write something on the Falcons. It's a little slow right now. I also need to kind of tidy up Georgia's season. Everybody still kind of got hung over from the parade, I guess. Had to kind of look at what's going on in the college football transfer market, where it looks like it's very busy again this time of year. Lots of people leaving Alabama, I saw, because, you know, playing time's hard to get. But yeah, some more college football. Mm-hmm. I wish there was some baseball to talk about, but there's not. And the Falcons will have free agency coming up after the playoffs. We got the football playoffs. Maybe mm-hmm. they'll get some ideas.
What's wrong with the Hawks?
Yeah, well, they just had a big win.
Oh, that's right, Monday against the Hawks. Yeah. Against the Bucks. Yeah,
they came back to win. Their bench got them back in it. The Hawks, I think there'll be some more moves coming before the deadline, February 10th, I believe. The GM Schlink's reasoning was, you know, he made the one move with Cam Reddish, who apparently thinks he's an all-star for some reason.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
And now we'll see what else, what other moves he can make, because they need to change it up, I believe.
Yeah, then Cam said, I'm a legit star in this league.
Gotta be careful, though. He's got a very enthusiastic fan base who, when you criticize him at all, you will hear from.
Oh, okay. I'll stay away from that. Well, it was great having you on, Mike. We'll try to get you back on after the draft, maybe. That would be a good stop-off point. But we certainly appreciate AJC columnist Michael Cunningham coming by the Bowtie Chronicles for his debut.
Trade down.
Appearance. Trade down from eight. Oh. A master picks. And get picks. What? Edge draft. Draft like four edge rushers.
Four edge rushers. Five defensive ends.
Yep. And then every guard. Sign every guard on the street.
Yeah. There you go.
Or right tackle, too, and guard. Well, there you go. Well, hey, thanks for coming by, Mike. We're going to get out of here. This is the 315th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Thanks for stopping by, and you all have a great rest of your week.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.